Let's put our hands together as Pastor Nami comes and shares the word with us.
Thank you. Could you come up on stage, please? I just need you. Morning, church. How are you? Could you please stand over there? This is Exhibit A. So, yes, I'm Pastor Nami. For those who don't know me, welcome to all the new people and the regulars. So I just want to read a statement, and I just want you to look at Pastor Stephen there. Some men buy boats and cars. I buy shoes. Yes. That's a statement that, and it was interesting that he talked about sneakers. So thank you. You can go. You made my point for me. So Pastor Stephen loves his shoes, specifically his sneakers, to the point that I had to count how many pairs he had a few years ago, and I came up to 25. Sneakers, not shoes. Sneakers. I don't know how many you have now, but back then. And it was interesting, I once overheard a conversation between him and our son. And Pastor Stephen was organizing with my son to go and wait in line to buy certain sneakers. So Nike has this thing where they have, well, I did a bit of research. So they have this thing about demand and supply. They make these shoes, but they make a limited amount. And then these people go and line up for hours to get these shoes. Mostly young. I don't know if it's boys or girls, but younger people. And they resell these at a higher price. So they make a profit from them. So I overheard this conversation. I don't know how it ended. I don't think Mandla ended up going, did he? No. So I thought, that's amazing. People will line up for hours to get a pair of sneakers. But I think we need to do a little bit of research. I've got my two assistants. I've got the ushers. Actually, the assistants can wait. You'll do afterwards. But could we have those little pieces of paper, please? Thank you, Helen. Now, you're going to get a piece of paper and a pen. And I just want you to just write one word in answer to this question. I'll just wait for Helen to finish. Think very carefully about the question and answer honestly. Don't overthink it. And then when you're done, your paper will be taken, and my assistants are going to pull all the information together, and we'll find out the results at the end of the message. All right, so I'll ask the question, and then I'll repeat it if you still haven't got your paper. The question is this. What one rare thing would make you want to wait in line for hours to walk through the doors of this church? I'll ask it again. What one thing, would make you want to wait in line for hours to walk through the doors of this church? One thing. Oh, we need a pen here. Thank you, Carol. Don't overthink it. Then once you're done, please raise your hand so they can get the papers. And then Claire and Brahma are going to help us. And they're going to collate the information and give us the results. If you're taking notes this morning, the title of my message is Why Connect? So this is in preparation for us launching Connect Groups, as you've seen on the 7th of February. Why Connect? Who here knows about the church framework? Who knows that there's a framework that we work with? Who's been at the church office and seen this? Yes, Greg has. Who knows about the church framework? Okay, a few people do. If you walk through the doors, if you go upstairs and go, there's this big board, and it's the church framework, and it's got four words that I want you to think about. Connect, belong, grow, build. So we connect. And as we connect, we belong. And as we belong, we start to grow. And as we grow, we start to build. I want to share from the book of Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 11 to 15. And it reads, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church." Two key points from that. Someone thought building a mature church would require gifts that would equip the church so that we could connect, belong, and grow. That's someone, of course, being the Lord Jesus Christ. He thought it was a good idea to give the gifts. Secondly, the gifts were given. The apostles to govern. The prophets to reveal the heart of God to the church. The evangelists to spread the word of God and draw those who don't know God to his house. The pastors to shepherd, to feed, and to equip the people of God. The teachers to go deeper in the word of God and ground the people. So in order to do all of that, I think that we need to raise our level of awareness around the basics of connection and know what to do and what not to do. So we're going to have a look at a video. It might be slightly distressing, just the warning there. So let's watch this.
Babies this young. Babies this young are extremely responsive to the emotions and the reactivity and the social interaction that they get from the world around them. This is something that we started studying 30, 40 years ago, when people didn't think that infants could engage in social interaction. In the still face experiment, what the mother did was she sits down and she's playing with her baby who's about a year of age.
I'm my girl.
And she gives a greeting to the baby. The baby gives a greeting back to her. This baby starts pointing at different places in the world, and the mother's trying to engage her and play with her. They're working to coordinate their emotions and their intentions, what they want to do in the world. And that's really what the baby is used to. And then we ask the mother to not respond to the baby. The baby very quickly picks up on this, and then she uses all of her abilities to try and get the mother back. She smiles at the mother. She points because she's used to the mother looking where she points. The baby puts both hands up in front of her and says, "What's happening here?" She makes that screechy sound at the mother, like, "Come on, why aren't we doing this?" Even in this 2 minutes, when they don't get the normal reaction, they react with negative emotions, they turn away, they feel the stress of it, they actually may lose control of their posture because of the stress that they're experiencing.
Okay.
What the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good is that normal stuff that goes on, that we all do with our kids. The bad is when something bad happens, but the infant can overcome it. After all, when you stop the still face, the mother and the baby start to play again. The ugly is when you don't give the child any chance to get back to the good. There's no reparation, and they're stuck in that really ugly situation.
Thank you. You know, psychologists have spent years studying what is called attachment theory. This idea that primary caregivers who are available and responsive to an infant's needs allow the child to develop what they call a secure attachment style, because there's a sense of security. In the video, we see that this child, even though she was distressed, when the mom re-engaged with her, she was able to continue and the relationship was reestablished. The infant was happy. Now, that's a secure attachment. But what happens for babies, or in this case, church members, who experience not just 2 minutes, but days, weeks, months of the still face? What the researchers found is that long-lasting attachment problems develop. Issues of trust, difficulties relating to other people, difficulties regulating emotion. So unless there is an actual emotional healing process that happens, that baby, that toddler, that preschooler becomes an adult, and they take all that hurt, that caution, that fear to their next church, to their next connect group. So just something to think about. A cautionary statement. There are many complex factors that contribute to our ability to form secure relationships. So the infant caregiver example that I've just used is just a small part of it. I wouldn't want you to think that, you know, everything that's going wrong in relationships is because of, you know, the relationship between children and their primary caregivers. So what are we to do with all this information? Like, why am I talking about this? Why am I talking about people who don't trust? People who've been emotionally neglected. People whose emotions are all over the place. So the people who can't regulate. Because we're not all psychologists or counselors, right? So what are we meant to do with this information? The second concept I want to introduce this morning is something called bids for connection. Now, there's a couple, married couple, called John and Julie Gottman. And John is a scientist. Julie is a psychologist. They're in America. And they spent over 30 years doing research on couples in romantic relationships, mainly married couples. And they were able to come up with something called the Sound Relationship House. The Sound Relationship House is a, talking about frameworks, it's a framework that explains how you build a healthy relationship. And this house has got 7 levels. One of the levels is called turning towards instead of away from what they call bids for connection. Now, what are bids for connection? These are the idea that people are constantly making efforts to connect with us. In the words, in the gestures, anything. They're constant. This morning, before you came here, probably if you've interacted with people, each one of those people probably made a bid for connection. And the Gottmans identified 3 responses, 3 possible responses to people's bids to connect. Number 1, turning away, so ignoring the person. Number 2, turning towards, which is acknowledging and engaging, right? Putting your task on hold, whatever it is you're doing, being present, that's turning towards. And then turning against, which is, you know, getting angry, being annoyed, being impatient. As a parent, a child comes to you, this is mom, dad, look at this picture. As a teacher, a student constantly raising their hand in class and you finding it disruptive. As a student, your teacher makes a joke to try and be cool, and you laugh. As a wife or a husband, your spouse asks you to watch their favorite show, which you absolutely hate. A work colleague sends a joke via email to the team, or a family member puts a post on the family WhatsApp group. Those are all bids to connect. Now, the Gottmans did their research in a lab. They called it the Love Lab, and they observed real-life couples. And in one particular video that I watched, they watched this couple. The woman goes to the window. She's got a cup of coffee in hand. She goes to the window, and she's looking at the sunset and makes a comment to her husband about the sunset. No response from him. 5 minutes later, he's watching something on the TV. He comments some sport he was watching. No response from the woman. That's an example of turning away. This couple divorced. Now, the research showed that there was a direct relationship between bids to connect and longevity and health of a relationship. Now, that was in the context of a marriage relationship, but I'm talking about it for us here as a church, for us as a community, for us in connect groups. Because what we're doing here is we're trying to raise our level of awareness around these things. Now, you might think, why should I waste my time with small stuff like responding to someone when I'm in the middle of something very important? The answer is simple. Number one, connecting to a bid for connection is key to creating a culture of genuine, authentic conversations. And secondly, if we're going to be a church that people want to run to, people want to wait for hours to get into, then we have to allow people the opportunity to be drawn to us. We have to be friendly. We have to smile. We have to be approachable. We have to have the necessary conversations. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 14 to 21. It says, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Just imagine, you can choose what part the body would be. But imagine if that was the only part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. You know, while we were worshiping, I just felt strongly this sense that, you know, some people are probably asking the question, why am I here? What is my purpose? And the answer I got is, because someone needs you. That's it. If you're struggling to find out your purpose, why you're here, what role you're meant to play, somebody needs you. And your job is to find out who and what and when. And I know the when is now, but somebody needs you. So why connect? We connect based on that scripture so we can have a sense of belonging. As we connect, we learn just because I'm not gifted in a specific area, that does not mean I'm not an important part of the body. We learn that as we connect, we learn the importance of hearing. It talks about the ear. So in our connect groups that we're encouraging us to join, we lend sensitivity to the voice of God. As we connect, we learn the importance of being able to see. Talks about the importance of the eye. Having a clear vision. I've been a dreamer since I was probably 10 years old, but it wasn't until late 20s when I was in Alice Springs and in a connect group that I became a student of my prophetic gift because of those I was connected with on a regular basis. The Connect group provided a context for learning and to grow that gift and understand it better so it can be used. As we belong, we learn the importance of balance. It talks about, what if the body was just one part? We can't have just the one function in the church. Everyone can't be a pastor. Everyone can't be an evangelist. Everyone can't move in miracles. Connect groups allow us to experience different perspectives, different people with different experiences, and that makes for a richer, more balanced church. Overall, connect groups allow the opportunity for growth and development, and this in turn fosters these mature connections. I want to talk about fostering mature connections. You know, I like listening to motivational speakers. And one thing I find they have in common is their focus on goal setting, but also the importance of having a clear indicator of what success looks like. And as I looked at the book of Ephesians, as I've just read, verse 13 in particular, I saw that there were some indicators of success to help us understand why we must foster these connections, why connect. Apparently, there are all these benefits that will come when we get equipped as a body of Christ. It says, this will continue. This is from verse 13. We all come to such unity in faith, meaning we will be united. That's one of the benefits. It then says, this will continue and there will be a knowledge of God's Son. What's that about? Greater revelation of Christ. And then it says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown out by every wind of new teaching. So it's talking about being stable and being grounded. Those are the indicators of success as we look to build by connecting, belonging, and growing. Now, before I finish, I'd like to find out the results of our survey. Wonderful. Claire's got them for us. No, you're going to read them out for us. There you go. So just wait for me to say the sentence, and then you can go for it. So according to these results, in order to foster mature connections where we are united, where we have greater revelation, and where we are stable and grounded, we're going to need to...
Well, the first one is Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. The second was community and food. Then we had worship music. Then it was forgiveness, salvation, and miracles. Faith, love, thanksgiving, health and fitness, superpowers and fast cars.
Was that a whole category on its own?
Superpowers and fast cars? Well, there was one superpowers and one person wanted fast cars.
Wow. Okay. Anything surprising there?
So what they're saying, if we have a car to give away, they might line up at the church.
Good point. Okay. So what this is telling, I know this might seem like quick and, you know, just funny, but that's very important information for our church in particular. About what is important to people, about what people will run to, what people will be drawn to, because these things are important for when you are inviting people to church to think about, just even in your individual time with God, to say, God, what role can I play in this? How can I be one of these things so that people can be drawn, so people can connect with us? Thank you, Claire. Thank you. Please give Claire a hand. I'm about to finish. When we were kids, there's a song that we used to sing. And the words, I'll just sing the song. It said, we are building up the temple, building up the temple, building up the temple of the Lord. We are building up the temple, building up the temple, building up the temple of the Lord. So boys, come and help us. Girls, come and help us. Building up the temple of the Lord. It keeps going on and on and on. So why connect? to build up the temple of the Lord, the church of God. It takes boys and girls, men and women, to build up the temple of the Lord, to build up the church of God, to build up the people of God. If we're going to build the kind of church that people can't wait to connect to and are willing to spend hours waiting, queuing up to get into, then these are the three key, summary of the three key factors that I've brought up. Number one, be aware of attachment theory and make an effort to be responsive to people. From now on, as you interact with people, be aware of that. Number two, look out for bids for connection and act on them. And also allow yourself to be a little bit more trusting and make those bids to connect to other people. And lastly, understand that each one of us are a necessary part of the body. Quite often, we hear about this concept of the fivefold ministry. And in my experience, this when you hear that, it's like there's these five major gifts. That's how it's presented. And then there's everybody else. But when you read that scripture, it says all those things, apostles, pastors, evangelists, teachers, right? It says all those things. And then it says for the equipping. You can have all those five. But if you don't have the saints to equip, they're just gifts. So it sounds even more like a sixfold ministry. You're connecting those gifts. So I really wanted to hone in on that one because sometimes people think, what's my role? What's my gift? Your very presence is a gift. That's it. There's many other gifts that you come with, but you're very present. The fact that God thought it was a good idea for you to enter earth, that's enough. There's a plan and a purpose for your life. So as we stand up, as I finish off, I just would like to pray for people, particularly around responding, learning to respond to bids when people are trying to connect with you. And also to learn to step out. We were talking about faith last week. Step out in faith. Step out of the boat. Make connections. Don't always be the one that people have to come to. Talk to someone that you're not used to. Even if you feel shy, like Joyce Meyer says, do it afraid. Allow yourself to step out of that comfort zone, like Pastor Stephen was talking about. So I just want us to pray around those areas because that will break something. It will break something. Sometimes we pray to God and say, God, help me with this. Help me with my relationships. I want this, but I'm afraid. But the thing is, God's saying, just take that little step. And it starts with opening up your heart. Open up my heart. We're talking about that. We're praying or singing about that. So please, the floor is open. The floor is open. Just want to pray around those areas. That God will help you respond to bids that people make to connect with you, but also that you would step out in faith and make bids to connect with people. Even if you have trust issues, that's how we're going to connect. That's how people are going to join connect groups. That's how we're going to grow as a church. And that you would see that you have a role. It's not about spending years asking God, what is my role in the church? Somebody needs you. That's it. So you ask God, who? What? So I'm going to open up the floor. I just also want to say, you know, if you have never made that connection with God, you've never made that decision to respond to the bid from Christ to connect with Him. His bid was the cross. When He died on the cross, that was His bid to you and I. To connect. So our response matters. So if you've never made that connection, let's just pray. Can you just repeat after me? Even if you've said this 1,000 times, it's still fresh in His ears. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for my life. I am a sinner. Forgive me for my sins. Come into my life. I want to connect with You. In Jesus' name. If you've made that prayer for the first time, please come up to the front so I can pray for you even more. And if you've prayed that prayer many, many times, I pray that that connection will be even more real, that you'll step out in faith. So I'm just going to pray and then people can go out. But otherwise, please come up to the front if you have any prayer needs, even if they're not necessarily what I called out. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that you are a good God. We thank you that you are faithful in all your ways. Father, we thank you for the cross. What a bid. Thank you for that bid, that life-changing bid to connect with us through the cross. Father, we pray that you may look into our hearts. We thank you, Father, that we are miracles walking this earth. Father, I pray for every gift that's represented here, Lord. I pray that people, as they go through their week, may they have an awareness of who they are on this earth. And may they make bids to connect with every single person they interact with. And may they be willing, regardless of whatever trust issues they may have, may they be willing to open themselves up for conversations. I pray for people who are not in connect groups or are afraid to join a connect group, Father, I pray that that thing be broken right now in Jesus' name. Because that's a lie of the enemy, Father. If fear is holding people back, I pray against that fear, for that is not the spirit that you've given us. You've given us a spirit of love, a spirit of power, and of a sound mind. And we release that, Father. Church, I just want you to open up your hands. Open up, just hold out that posture. Make that bid to the Lord to say, Lord, I open up my hands to receive. So this morning, whatever God is giving you, only you know, because God has given us the gift of imagination. He speaks to us in pictures. And right now, I pray, may God give you a picture of what it is He's putting in your hands. As you walk out that door, every single one of us walks out with a gift. It may be a gift that you've always had. It may be a new gift, but you will walk out with a gift. Father, I pray for revelation of what that is. I pray that the image be clear. Even if it doesn't make sense to you, the picture that you've just seen, may you go out and in faith ask God, what is the gift? What does it mean? Either way, you will create an intimacy, a deeper intimacy with the Lord. So it's a win-win. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for our ability, Father, to step out of the boat and make bids to connect, Father. I pray, Father, that we will make bids to connect with our spouses, with our children, with our co-workers, with the church members, with our connect group leaders. Father, teach us how to make bids and respond to bids to connect. And Lord, I pray for those people who have been neglected in the past and have suffered through their primary caregivers and were not able to develop secure attachments. May you reveal it in this place this morning. And I pray that people will seek the necessary help to unpack that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.